Welcome to Rivers of Living Waters. Many people around the world have heard the story, Fields of Diamonds, the story of Ollie Hoffett, who sold his farm and traveled the world looking for diamonds, only for it to be discovered that the very farm he sold was full of diamonds. It's the prime example of bloom where you're planted. Things are not always better somewhere else. Sometimes it just takes a little diligent work where we are to find the diamonds in our own lives.
I get all kind of emails, and sometimes they're kind of weird ones, and they're talking about, do people really spank their children anymore? I'm thinking, what? You know, that wasn't even a question when I was growing up, and it should be a question now. The Bible talks about that. Dr. Dobson, James Dobson, just died, and he had the program Focus on the Family, and his first book was Dare to Discipline. It still is the number one bestseller in psychology, for child psychology. And in that book, he just made clear that he was seeing a generation that was getting away from the discipline of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we weren't carrying forth our children's legacy. And so he dared to discipline. So every day, he got on the air, and for 30 minutes a day, he gave family advice on how to raise your children, and he impacted this world for good. Now he's gone. Hopefully his son will keep it going and his broadcast will continue together. John MacArthur recently died, and John MacArthur was known as one of the greatest scholars of this century. And I was reading in his son Matt took over the ministry. Matt MacArthur has taken over the ministry, and they asked, church leaders did an interview with him and asked, Matt, what's going to happen? He said, well, my father thought generationally. And he has over 3,000 recorded messages that we will continue to archives. We will continue to play, and his voice will still be heard for decades and decades beyond his death. That's thinking generationally. One of my favorite scholars is Dr. J. Vernon McGee, the guru of the Bible series. Y'all remember him? And he's still on every single day. Do you know when Dr. Vernon McGee died? The same year we started this church, 1988. Those 30-something years ago, Dr. McGee went to heaven. But he's still heard on 400 radio stations every day, and his impact is still worldwide. Why? Because he thought generationally. I'm hoping, as the sunset years of my life comes, and our media director, she said something about we have enough archives we can take care of. I want to, when I die, the same legacy that it will continue, and hopefully we're going to have the generational finances to continue that. That's our goal anyway when we die. Blessed. I ask you a question. Have you ever thought generationally? Not just about your comfort today, but what about Braylon and Braylon's children? Have you even thought about what's going to happen to the church, the ministry, if I die? Not me, you. You say, what do you mean? Well, you know, this ministry exists because of the tithes and offerings of God's people. But yet, whenever people die, and I've been preaching now 51 years, very few people include in their will the ministry that they have been a part of for years. Thank God your mom did. But very few people. And whenever you die and your wealth is transferred, a portion of that, you should think generationally, should continue the life's work that you have started. And that's how the transfer of wealth the Bible talks about. These acres, these fields of diamonds. In fact, I've told my children point blank, you're getting nothing when I die. Everything goes to the church. It's all the churches, and we're going to keep the ministry alive. And you know what they said? Amen, Daddy. We don't want anything you have. You have taught us how to take care of ourselves. And if you do that, because how many spoiled brats? I have been in funerals where fist fights break out over the inheritance. You talked about some of that Sunday school this morning. Why in the world do we leave things for our children and knowing they're just going to fight over it? So you should think generationally about continuing the mission and the ministry. Look at verse 27. It says, verse 25. If we think generationally, if we be diligent about our flocks and look well to our herds, and we plow where we are, and we don't run away like Ali Hafed did, looking for riches elsewhere, but we tender the ground that God has given to us. Verse 25 said, the hay appears, and tender grass shows itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered. The lambs will be for your clothing, and the goats will be the price of your field. The promise is, if we are diligent, and we look well for what we have now, and we use the resources we have now for the kingdom, verse 27, you will have goat's milk enough for your food, and for the food of your household, and for the maintenance of your maidens. When you develop a Christ-like mindset, that all I have, and all I can do, and all I can be, is for the glory. It all belongs to God. I'm just a steward. Therefore, I must diligently steward it for His kingdom's use and for His glory. And all your needs will be taken care of.
Amen.
All be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Not your own personal wealth or finances or comfort. Not even your children's or grandchildren. Seek first the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Then all these things, Ali Hafed, will be added unto you, because you already have the fields of diamonds. You're living on it right now, and God has promised if you take care of that that He has entrusted you with, your family needs to be taken care of, your children's needs to be taken care of, and even your maidens, your employees, your partners, your co-workers, all the needs will be abundantly met when we steward what God has already given to us. Stewardship means the management of resources for God's glory, and it will reap acres and acres of diamonds. But sadly, most of us act like Ali Hafed. We go in different places, looking for different opportunities, seeking out different situations, trying to find what in reality we already have. Think about the prodigal son in Luke 15. He had everything he could possibly want in the Father's house. But because he got somebody somewhere led him astray, and he was drawn away, as the Bible said in James chapter 1, and every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The prodigal son was drawn away, like Ali Hafed was, and said, there's got to be an easier way. I don't like the restrictions my dad puts on me. I'm going to leave this place. And so he got his inheritance, and he left that place, and he ended up where? In the pig pen. Eating the husk of the corn that even the pigs wouldn't eat. Pigs eat anything. And he found himself down there. He went looking for better and found out that he already had better back where he started. And he went back to where his father was. That's what he didn't think. He did not recognize that he already had fields and acres of diamonds, and that what he had was in his own backyard was better than what he could go looking for other places. Hey, this world tells us that God is too restrictive, that holiness is too binding. So you go look for diamonds outside of religion, outside of church, outside of old-time religion. Children are taught to run away from your parents. If you did a survey, and I can't say it's verbatim, but if you did a survey of how many kids left, got married early so they could get away from their parents, I think you'd find it was a big statistic. They wanted to have it on their own way, so they disregard what their parents, it's too restrictive, it's too hard, you got too many rules, I'm going to go join the army. Nobody will tell me what to do. Oh, you'll find out that you had acres of diamonds right under your feet. You shun the standards of separation. Get away from the old-time religion. Shun the King James Bible. Get away from doing what's right and being right and having integrity. Integrity means doing right when nobody's looking. The straight and narrow way is too restrictive. It's too boring. It's too yucky. I want to get out of here. Leave. Be like the world. I want to sow my wild seeds. I want to climb my own mountains and do my own thing. I'm going to go get that tattoo that Mama says I can't have. Have you ever seen these guys who have tattooed the name of their girlfriend on their arm, and then they have an X through it and have another tattoo of another girl, and then they have an X through it, and then they'll finally make a heart around all of them because they put all these girls' names on there, and they're not with the girl anymore. They thought they had it better. They left their diamonds and went searching for pauper steel. Get your eyes off of here and now and look out there. Life's a party. Be in it. It's so much better if you just get out of here. Go somewhere else. Sow some wild oats. Don't listen to anybody. In reality, you're already living on 8 acres of diamonds, and you're leaving. God's way is always the best way. The Bible may be restrictive, but it's for your good. I'm so glad that God gave us boundaries and restrictions and principles to live by. And if we live by the principles of the Bible, then we will have a happy, prosperous, peaceful life. Can I hear an amen? Amen. See, the world can't give you true riches. Where you are right now, in God's house, listening to God's word, reading God's Bible, playing in God's field, working in God's vineyard, you're in God's plan, on God's timetable. Right now is the best life you'll ever live. If you'll just get your attitude right. And don't run seeking like Ali Hafed did, but live that abundant life where you are. See, abundant life is yours today. The peace of God that passes all understanding is worth more than all the diamonds of the world. You have a purpose for living here and now, where you are. See, when people get their eyes off that and think that money is everything, it will disappoint them. Money is just a tool that God gives you. Wealth is just a tool that God gives you. And if you use it selfishly and all you think about is accumulating it, you'll die and leave a bunch of junk for a lot of people to fight over. Recently this week, we had someone that we know who was a wealthy businessman. He had a very prosperous paving company. And he was friends with some of my kids and relatives. And he committed suicide this week. Very wealthy man, but because he was not happy at home, he killed himself. That's three men that I know of in the last 3 years who were wealthy beyond any imagination of anybody in this room, who killed themselves because they were so miserable in their life. See, money doesn't buy you happiness. I know what Ecclesiastes says. Money answers all things. It does answer some of your problems, but it doesn't make you happy. Only true wealth comes from knowing Jesus and having the peace of God that passes all understanding. I'd rather be poor and have the peace of God and have peace with myself and have a purpose for living. If your purpose is just to get up at 9, be at work at 9 o'clock and work at 5 and put something in an IRA or a KEO or whatever the case may be and live so that one day you can retire and have a few dollars to spend, guess what? The average person who retires lives less than 12 years. And most people, 75% of your wealth will be spent in the last 2 weeks of your life trying to preserve your life for another 2 weeks. Yeah, that's what it said. 75% of all your wealth will be spent in the last 2 weeks of your life trying to give yourself 2 more weeks of life because health costs are so prohibitive. We labor all that, trying to get all that, and right now God has given us acres of diamonds and fields of diamonds. If we would just live where we are and enjoy today and enjoy the will of God and the work of God and do what God wants us to do, you don't have to go out there and seek everything else. I had a gentleman yesterday that he's a preacher, and he came by. We have another church up in another city that we are trying to find the right person to rent. And this gentleman, I'll call him Brother Albert, that was his name, he came by, and he was such a joy to talk to because he was living what he called following God's voice. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, I'm just listening to the Spirit of God and being led by the Spirit and doing what I can. And he gave me this story. He says, during COVID, everything was going great, and I lost my job. He says, because of COVID. And he said, my wife never has worked. She's a stay-at-home mom. And he said, I lost my job. And everybody said, what are you going to do? He said, well, we're just going to trust the Lord. This is the Spirit of God. He said, and I know the Spirit of God told me to go buy a house. He says, and I said to God, Lord, I don't have a job. My wife has never worked. And how am I going to get a house? And God told him exactly the house number. I can tell you this number. It's 108 Majesty Street. He said, I didn't know anything about it. He says, and so I found 108 Majesty Street, and it was a development. And he said, the house was there, and I made an offer on the house because the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me to do it. He says, now, all the other houses in that area, the payments were running anywhere from about $1,200 to $1,500 a month. He says, and I told, in my spirit, I said, I'm not going to take this house unless I get my payments less than $800 a month. He said, my wife said, you're crazy. He said, I know, but I'm trusting the Lord, and God told me to put an offer on this house, and it was going to be this payment, and I'm going to do it. And so, you know what? They accepted his offer. He went to closing, and when they got to closing, well, first of all, they rejected his credit, and they put it in his wife's name, who had never worked a day in her life, and she got accepted. So they got to go to closing. And the attorney called, or the real estate agent said, now y'all need to be prepared. You need $15,000 to close the loan. And he said, we had 15 cents. We didn't have $15,000. And so they're sitting in the closing. And he says, my wife looked at me and said, everything's going good. We signed all the papers. And she said, they're going to ask for $15,000. It's coming. He said, the Holy Spirit said, this is our house, 108 Madison Street. And said, when we got done, the gentleman patted me on the back and said, we rolled all your fees into your loan. You don't have to pay a dime today. And your payment is $654. That's God. That's God. He said, let me tell you the rest of the story. I said, okay. He said, and some people would be embarrassed about it. He said, well, I didn't have a job. He said, we didn't pay a payment on the house for a year. And they kept telling us that we're going to get foreclosed. We're going to get foreclosed. We're going to get foreclosed. He said, so finally we got the letter. We're going to take your house. You hadn't paid a payment a year. He said, the Lord told me to buy the house. The Lord told me to offer. Everything worked out. He said, so when we got a call from Bank of America, and he said, I knew it was them coming to take our house. He said, but the Holy Spirit already told me. He had me. I was walking in spirit. I was doing what God wanted me to do, and it was going to be okay. Bank of America called and said, we don't understand it, but your debt is fully paid. $200,000 house, debt-free. Only God. And I said, I'm going to use you as an illustration because I'm preaching on Fields of Diamonds tomorrow and how walking in the Spirit and doing what God tells you to do where you are is a blessing. He said, let me tell the rest of the story. I said, okay. He said, so our house has just been paid off. I don't have a job. I finally get another job. He says, and I start working that job, and he says that we go to this church, and then one of the brothers in the church asked us to pray. So stood and said, y'all pray, I need a car. My car blew up, and I got to get a car. And he says, we all prayed. He said, then I got to thinking, well, why don't we do something about it? So I went and talked to the boards, decent-sized church, and said, we need to help this man. We need to get him a car. And he said, nobody want to give him a car. He said, so all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit says to me, he said, well, give him yours. He said, so I tell my wife, I'm going to give this man my car. She said, you can't do that. I got five kids at home. You got to get back and forth to work. How are you going to do that? You can't do that. He said, yeah, I'm going to give him. So he gave him his truck. He said, I didn't do it for 2 weeks because my wife told me not to. He said, I was so miserable. I was about to die. He said, because I knew I wasn't obeying the voice of the Lord. And he said, so I've been planting seeds and believing God, and he gave us the house paid for. I didn't have a job for months, and God took care of us. He said, God's going to take care of us. He said, so I went to the church, and I come in one door, and the other guy came in the other door, and I held the title up and waved the keys and said, by the time the man got to where I was, he was crying like a baby. I gave him the keys to my truck and my car and my key and the title, went and paid his insurance for the first month so he could make sure he got it done, titled his name. And my wife looked at me and said, now what you going to do, big boy? He said, so I walked to work. He said, I walked to work in the heat of the day. I walked to work in the rain. I walked to work in the winter. I walked to work for one solid year. He says, and everybody else was laughing at me, and I was singing and praising the Lord, walking to work, because I knew I obeyed the Spirit of God. I knew that what God had told me to do, I did. And I was living at 108 Majesty Street in a paid-for house that God had said, for me to plant the seed in that man's life. He said, you know what happened? He said, not only did I enjoy the time with the Lord, but then he gave me a business idea. I started the business, and God gave me a truck. God gave my wife a car. God gave us a paid off house, and we are enjoying the blessings of the Lord. Fields of diamonds. Plant where you're bloom where you're planting. Do what you can where you are. Don't go hunting somewhere else. You've already got it. He had a kingdom mindset. He listened and obeyed, and he was open to the leading of the Spirit, and he did that which in his wife's eyes and in the world's eyes was foolish. I can't imagine anybody in this room giving up their one and only vehicle and walking to work so somebody else could be blessed. But he did, and God took care of it. Proverbs 27:23 said, be thou diligent to know the state of your flocks and look well to your herds. We need to learn to recognize that what we have right now, the resources that are right before us, the place where we're at right now, is the best place to be. Can I hear an amen? You have more than enough where you are. Paul said it best, having food and raiment, therewith to be content. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7, we all know verse 11, but in verse 7 it said, and seek the peace of the city, whether I have called you to be carried away. God said, where you are, in Babylon, in captivity, in that city, you pray for the peace of that city, and you live in that city, and you bless that city. You do what I told you to do, bloom where you're planted. The word peace in Hebrew means welfare. So seek the welfare. Seek the help. Seek the prosperity of that city. Because I have caused you to be carried away there. Notice he said, seek, look diligently. Look hard for the peace of the city. The acres of diamonds are right here in our under our feet, where we are living, with the resources we have now. We just have to ask God to help us to recognize that those big old black stones are really diamonds. It also says, bloom where you planted, right where you are, and be diligent. The fact is that the greatest teacher of gratitude is loss. You don't realize something or someone's value until it's gone. Can I hear an amen? That job you hate right now, if you lose it, you'll realize how valuable it was. The boss you tolerate right now, you will wish you had that boss when you have no boss. Those parents you rebel against right now, you will miss them when you go to their funeral and you can't talk to them anymore. The spouse you wish you had never married, when you get a divorce, will be the most miserable day of your life. Those freedoms you enjoy now, the America that we take for granted now, when they're all gone, then you'll realize just how valuable they were. You are living on acres of diamonds. Don't go hunting joy somewhere else. Don't go hunting a new wife or a new husband. Don't go hunting a new job. Take advantage of the resources and people and places that God has placed in your hands today. Be thou diligent to know the state of your flocks and their herds. Secondly, I want you to notice that diamonds take time to develop. A diamond is just a piece of black coal that's been put under a lot of pressure and heat. And it develops over long periods of time. Sometimes we lose patience when we're under pressure and heat. It seems that the trial will never get over. Amen? Why me? Pressure is over, always there. And before the heat is subsided, it feels like an eternity. The trial you're going through right now may only last a day, a week, a month, a year, or 10 years, but it feels like forever. Don't run from your trials. Don't run from your pressure, because you face your giants like David did. Conquer the problems where you are today. Because guess what? If you don't, you'll have a bigger one tomorrow. Fools, the Bible said, looks to the end of the earth, hoping to find something bigger, something better, something easier. Just like in our story, Alihafan did. In Proverbs 17:24, it said, wisdom is before him that hath understanding. It is right in front of you in your own backyard is wisdom, but the eyes of a fool are searching all over the ends of the earth.
Yep.
The fool looks to the ends of the earth, always searching for something new, something more exciting, something easier, some more fertile ground. The diamonds are under your feet. Make the best of where you are. Bloom where you're planted, right in your corner where you are. God is working in your life right now to make you into a diamond. You're just an old piece of coal right now. But under time, pressure, and heat, you will become a diamond. Now, through the years that I've been married, 47, I've learned that diamonds are, in fact, a woman's best friend. And so I've learned there's four things when you look for a diamond. Y'all write these down that you will look at to see the value of a diamond. They're real easy. I'll start with C. The cut of the diamond, the carat weight of the diamond, the color quality of the diamond, and finally, the clarity of the diamond. The clarity, when you look at the diamond under a magnifying glass, you can see carbon spots and cloudy. They call it inclusions. The fewer carbon spots and the fewer inclusions, the more valuable the diamond. But the reason that diamond has less carbon and less inclusions is because it was put under more intense heat and pressure when it was in the diamond mine. Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Those inferior qualities make it worth less. God is working in your life right now to make you a clear, colorful, solitary cut, heavy carrying diamond. And the more valuable you are, the more pressure, the more stress, the more trials we have to go through. See, you have to know diligently, know from the beginning what's happening. It doesn't take a lot to be worth a lot. It takes a lot of pressure, a lot of time, a lot of knowledge to know what something's worth. You have to diligently know, the Bible said. Diligently know the state of flux. The new owner didn't even recognize that the black stones were in reality precious diamonds in the rough. He just kept working diligently. He just kept doing what he knew to do. And then finally, God brought somebody into his life who had the knowledge that he needed to become independently wealthy. And the largest diamond mine in Africa belongs to this gentleman now. See, he saw them as aggravation. He saw them as a nuisance. But he continuously, diligently worked the land. He diligently picked them up and got them off the ground. He diligently watered and planted and toiled in the heat of the day. And when he stayed and he worked where he was faithful where he was diligent where he was, and then in God's time, he got the knowledge that he was living on acres of diamonds. No wonder the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It may seem like you are toiling in the heat of the day and not getting any results, but you're still a diamond in the process. Stay where you are. Do what you can with what you have. Be a good steward of what God gave you. And in God's time, the diamond will be exposed. Listen, I'll suppose this. When the ideal becomes an ordeal, you start thinking you got a raw deal, and you'll begin to look for a new deal. But God said, be thou diligent. Stay with it. Keep plowing. Learn from Ali Hafez's mistake. And ask God to help us. He that endureth to the end shall be saved.
We hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Rivers of Living Waters broadcast, brought to you by the Making a Difference Network. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry in your life. Please write to us at Living Waters Broadcast, 911 Treasure Place Southwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28055, US of A. Or email us at maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Again, that's maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Or visit our website, maddenworldwide.com, for more information. Thank you for tuning in. If you missed the first part of this sermon on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, join us on Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern to hear this sermon in its entirety. Until then, we'll be praying for you and your family that together we can make a difference around the corner and around the world.